Hi and welcome to the podcast. My name, oh my god, okay. 3, 2, 1. Hi and welcome to season 3 of the Ease with Food podcast. I'm so happy that you've chosen to join me today. My name is Shannon. I'm a registered nutritionist, nutrition counselor, and eating disorder recovery coach. I hope that you enjoy this episode. Let's get on with the show. Well, hi, welcome back. Today we're going to be talking about, as you can tell by the title, we always, on podcasts, we always announce what we're going to be talking about, so you can't read the title. I don't know why we all do that, but I'm going to continue with it. We're going to be talking about why you keep eating when you're full, and I'm going to give you some tips on how to stop, because I know you're desperate to stop, but I hope I'm going to make it clear that this isn't your fault. Sometimes it's actually a good thing that you can't stop eating when you're full. And by feeling really guilty about it and always feeling like, oh, I need to do better, I think that's what's probably keeping you in the cycle. So let's dive in. I'm not going to dive straight into why it's happening and why to stop just yet. Let's peruse around your relationship to food to begin with first. Okay, what is a relationship to food? You might already know, but bear with me because we're kind of layering here, right? I think if I gave you tips on how to solve like eating when you're full straight off the bat, I feel like we're missing a piece of the puzzle here. So bear with, let's just get comfy. Let's actually like dive into this and build up the layers here. Okay, so your relationship to food is just how you think, feel, and act around food. Duh, you probably know that. How do you know if you have a bad relationship to food? Well, it can be behaviors, it can be mindset, it can be just feeling a bit off with food. And I think it also doesn't need to be just with food. I think it can also be with your body in general. So they two kind of go hand in hand. And often, you know, when you're struggling in your body, that's often when you might notice things going on in your relationship to food. So they're really intertwined. And your relationship to food and your body is really impacted by loads of different things. And the combination of all of these different things, what's going on in your life, how you cope with things, like on a genetics level, on how you were raised, on your personality, all of these things combine, and you're left with either, now this is a kind of spectrum, it's, you know, you're left with an eating disorder, you're left with disordered eating, you're left with somewhere in the middle. Or if you have a good relationship to food, you're left in a place of like normal, healthy eating. Normal and healthy eating is probably not what people around you have. Now, that's a big statement, but bear with me. I'm going to back it up, I swear. The majority of people in our world, and, you know, I'm talking from like a UK perspective. So, you know, if you're in UK, Ireland, North America, Australia, or, you know, loads of other different places and countries, you know, most people do not have a healthy relationship to food. I mean, I'm not a reference guide, so I can't think of the exact numbers. But last time I checked, around 75% of people have some level of disordered eating. I know it's like a big statement, but disordered eating can be any sort of behavior to do with food and your body, or it can be any sort of mindset. So, you know, I think of, let's say, and you do the same, think of your friends and family who you're around on a kind of regular basis. So, you know, for me, that's my partner, it's my family, who is like my mom, my dad, my brothers, my grandparents, and my auntie, and like my cousins. So, you know, there's like, I don't know, 15 people or whatever. Actually, probably less. I have quite a small family, probably like 10 or something. And then, you know, I have my friends. So, you know, I have a couple of best friends, and then I have a kind of few acquaintances and friends that I might see every so often. So let's say, you know, another, I'm not very popular, maybe like 5 to 10 people, like whatever, that I might see kind of sometimes. So, you know, that's my little sample size of, let's say, 20 people, right? Very maximum. You know, I would say probably most of them have some sort of tricky stuff going on with food. You know, apart from my partner and maybe, I mean, honestly, apart from maybe my partner and like one of my friends, most of those people have some level of disordered eating. And that's not to say that all of them are like consumed with food and like constantly struggling and like their life is like, you know, if we had a pie chart of their life, like that's not saying that like 90% of it is made up with how they feel about food. But, you know, to a trained eye like mine, something's going on. And this isn't to like pathologize people or kind of say like, we've all got problems, so what's the problem? Like, why do we need to solve it, right? This is saying that, you know, it's a bit of an epidemic, that disordered eating is really like run rife. And the reason for that is a bunch of things. But before we dive into why you might be struggling with disordered eating, let's take a pause, because I want you to reflect on the people around you. Do they have healthy relationships to food, or do they have certain behaviors or talk about food in a certain way, or bodies in a certain way that might say to you that there might be some sort of disordered eating going on around you? And what kind of percentage would that be for you? You know, for some of you, maybe everyone around you is great with food and it's, you know, you're the kind of, I'm going to call you the odd one out. That sounds really harsh, but I mean, let's say you're the odd one out. Like, you know what I mean? You know, what is it for you? And as you know, I mean, you might immediately say, oh no, everyone's like great, everyone's great. Let's talk about some behaviors and mindsets that people with a difficult relationship to food might be having. And you know, this is really important because my partner, who, you know, he's not trained in eating disorders, he used to think that certain things were normal. Like, I'm not going to name names in case they listen, but you know, certain people in his life, to my trained eye, they were exhibiting really big signs of disordered eating. But my partner had no Scooby until, like, I mentioned it to him and I explained to him, like, no, like, this is not a healthy thing that's happening. So let me give you some behaviors. So, cause you know, you might think, oh, well, they're normal. They're not normal. They're just normalized usually. So let me give you some, and then I promise we'll dive into helping you deal with your fullness and stopping eating when you're full. But like I said, we need to go through this because I think it's quite important to recalibrate and get to like the same ground. So some behaviors that might be going on, and we know the kind of, I guess, big red flag eating disorder behaviors. I'm going to call them that because I think that, you know, these kind of behaviors, like, most people would recognize as problems with food. So, you know, not eating very much, being frightened of food, being, you know, scared to gain weight when you eat something, feeling like you need to eat really healthy, purging food, which would be something like vomiting food, binging on food, eating in secret, hiding food. I think that most people could recognize these as quite, you know, like obvious disordered eating behaviors. So let's put them to the side. I would say that these are more like clinical kind of things that someone who isn't like super trained or like super aware of eating disorders, I feel like those would be like the ones that they would say. Now, you've got me here, lucky you. So let's talk about some of the more like normalized things that people might be doing. And now, obviously, you know, just a disclaimer here. Sometimes people do these behaviors and it might not come from a disordered place. It's kind of all about the like intent that's behind them. Doesn't mean that they're not disordered and doesn't mean that they're not harmful, but that's a whole kind of other convo which we can have at another time. So some other behaviors, some of them are going to be quite random, but many behaviors are. Chugging water, so you try to lose weight. I think that's disordered and it's something that many people do. Trying to go as long as possible between meals. Trying to avoid eating breakfast so you don't eat as many calories. Feeling like if you do eat a meal, you are gonna end up eating all day. You know, often people will try to push breakfast off or push their first meal of the day off as long as possible because as soon as they do eat, they know that it's gonna turn into, they would call it binge eating. I would call it making up for not eating enough in the day. Things like drinking these skinny teas or teas to help you lose weight. And that doesn't just mean, you know, weight loss teas. I think it can also mean things like buying green tea or peppermint tea because you hope it'll like make you lose weight or feel less bloated. Not from a kind of medically, like, you know, struggling with IBS kind of vibe, but, you know, like to make you feel kind of empty kind of way, I mean. It could be, you know, skipping snacks because you don't want to gain weight. It could be that little worry that you get when you eat something that is not the low calorie option or the low fat or the low carb option. That little pitter patter that you get when you think, oh God, I've eaten so many of these. What if I gain weight? Even if it's just like a split second little thing, that's a sign that something's not quite right here. There's loads of others as well. And, you know, throughout all my podcast episodes, I talk about all of these type of things and there's too many for me to name. But there are so many behaviors that might be going on that are so disordered and they could be going on around you, within you. They're on TV, they're in podcast episodes. You know, if you're reading a book, like any book, like even like a fiction book or a book with nothing to do with food or eating or anything, it will mention weight loss, it will mention nutrition, it will mention bodies. It's constant. And this is because these disordered eating mindset and behaviors are what's normalized and often celebrated in our society. And that's because we live in a diet culture. We could also just call it a fatphobic culture. We're not going to go too much into this today, but, you know, the root of your relationship to food is accumulation of lots of different things. Like I mentioned before, it can be your genetics, your upbringing, the environment that you live in. It can be the people around you. And it's also definitely the diet culture that we live in. So, you know, seeing bodies be treated a certain way for being a certain size, seeing calorie counts on menus, seeing jokes be made about certain foods, all of these things accumulate and you end up on some sort of spectrum with your relationship to food. Now we're transitioning into what you're here for, what the episode is really all about, which is helping you stop eating when you're full. If you can't stop eating when you're full, there are a bunch of reasons for it. There's probably 50 plus reasons for it, which we're not going to name all of them today. We'll just name the main ones. But the reason you can't stop eating isn't the problem in itself. There's a root to this, right? There's like some reason that you can't stop eating. And, you know, I'm going to give you a few reasons and I'm going to give you some tips to help them. But ultimately, it's your relationship to food that needs work on. And I'm really happy to say that in my clinic, Ease Nutrition Therapy, we have myself and two other clinicians. We're definitely able to help you with your relationship to food. Obviously, that can include helping you stop eating when you're full, but it will really get to the root of what's going on, because, you know, implementing a few quick tips, I hope, will be helpful for you. But in the long run, you probably will need to do a lot more work, and that's where we come in. So you can't stop eating when you're full. Now, there's loads of different factors here. Is it all the time? Is it only sometimes? Have you noticed any patterns that might be going on? You know, is it always on the weekend? Is it always on a Wednesday night? Obviously, I can't give you these answers because I'm talking to myself. But part of healing this part of you, if not like stopping eating when you're full, is about reflection. You can't just kind of, you know, scooch past it and just kind of say, okay, I'm going to do this. I think you need to kind of get reflective with it. So if you noticed any patterns that are going on, often, like I mentioned, someone might be binge eating on the weekend. They might be overeating when they're alone. Like, they finally get the chance to be alone and eat what they want, and it's like, woohoo, you know, freedom. It might always be when you see a certain person or when you have to do a certain something at work. It might be if you don't leave the house that day, or it might be if you leave the house, you know, for the whole day. You need to get reflective on that, because that can tell you a lot of what might be going on. And then you need to take that info and you need to take it to someone like me who can help you unpack it and solve it. Okay. So I guess that would be my first tip. Like, you need to get reflective. You need to kind of think about what's going on. All right. The kind of main reasons that I see for people not being able to stop eating when they're full, I'm going to run through a few, and then we will summarize every so often, and I'll give you some tips on how to solve it. Probably going to feel a bit messy, but, well, relationships to food are messy, so I guess we'll just have to deal with it. Because, you know, like I always say, there's no like cookie cutter 10-step process. Let's just see how we go. So one of the big reasons I see for people keeping on eating when they're full is just simply not like eating enough, not eating regularly enough. So I know this is what I always say in all of my episodes, but, you know, the main reason for overeating is really often some sort of restriction. In this case, we're going to talk about physical restriction, which could be just simply not eating enough in the day. If you're finding yourself eating too much at lunchtime or dinner time, you need to look at the hours before. I know that it's like really easy to just dismiss this and be like, oh no, I'm eating plenty. You know, you don't know what you're talking about. I swear I do, because I've helped hundreds of people who are struggling with overeating and binging. And when I was struggling with these things, if someone said, you're not eating enough through the day, I'd say, you don't know what you're talking about. Please consider that I might be right, and that maybe you're just not eating enough through the day. That doesn't mean that it's happening every day, but think about it. Let's say you're eating enough every day, apart from one day a week. Every single week, you're adding a day on where you're not eating enough. So at some point, there has to be a pushback from your body. It's going to say, hold the bus. I'm not getting enough food. I need to overeat after this meal. Now, like I said before, you need to get reflective on when it's happening. Are you overeating on certain days of the week, certain types of food? Like, you need to figure out what's going on, because there's going to be specifics for you to do with this. So oftentimes it will be if your meals aren't like exciting enough or satisfying enough. It can also be if you don't like have many foods around you. Obviously, if you're not in the position to have like, you know, enough food at home, that's a whole other thing. And I'm really like sorry about that. It could also be that you've got kind of bare cupboard syndrome, which is when your brain, it kind of goes like a little bit wild and it thinks, like, I don't have enough food here. Like, I'm gonna have to go wild and get my paws on everything. And if that's happening with you, I'd recommend, I guess in a perfect world, it would be, go shopping more regularly, make sure you have enough food at home, if that's possible for you. It might be that you need to like plan food a bit better. It might mean that you need to do more like small regular food shops rather than like a big one once a week. And this can go into loads of other things, like maybe you need to plan more exciting meals or think about new recipes or find some more like quick meals that you could make. All of these kind of things could be helpful. So just to kind of summarize, I think I actually gave you two good points there. Number one, you're not eating enough. Number two, you're full, but you're not satisfied. Satisfaction is different from fullness, right? So satisfaction is when something hits the spot. If you're full and you're, raking in the cupboards for different foods, it could just be that you need a little something, something more to kind of finish off the meal. So when I was healing my relationship to food, this was like a really big one for me, where I would finish a meal and I was not hungry, but I found myself kind of raking through the drawers. And I found that having something like a cheese and cracker or a piece of chocolate or a tea, that was like really helpful to round it off and leave me kind of feeling like I'd had, I guess it's like a feeling of having like a well-rounded, proper thing to eat. So that could be helpful for you. It could also be that you're just simply coming out of restriction. So if you maybe you're listening to this and you're thinking, you're talking about restriction, I'm not restricting anymore, but I restricted in the past. Well, it can take the body up to a year or maybe even more to heal from restriction. So if you dieted in the past or you were struggling with disordered eating in the past, but you're, in a bit of a better place now, but things are like you're still overeating, just give it time. Okay, give it time where you're still giving yourself unconditional permission to eat. You need to just give yourself self-compassion. You need to give yourself a break. This will eventually subdue if you put in the work now. And by the work, I mean moving through these tough times, working on your self-care, working on your well-being. Over time, things will get better. Okay, another reason that you could, still be eating when you're full is that, and I mean, this is like a tough one to bear, but maybe food is just like the only exciting thing that you have. And so it makes sense that like you just keep eating because, well, what else have you got, right? I know that's really harsh and I know it's like a really kind of crude way to put it, but if food is the only thing that you've got going on, surely you're going to want more of it, right? Now, this isn't to say that like food shouldn't be a part of your routines or that you need to like, I don't know, put food in like a little cabinet or something away from you because, well, you literally need to eat and food is also meant to be enjoyable. But I would recommend maybe if things are really tough with overeating, I would really recommend, having your meal, doing the little thing to round it off, like I suggested, like some cheese and cracker or chocolate or something. Plan an activity or something to do after your meal. Like watching a film, playing with your cat, reading a book, moving from the room that you ate in, something you need to experiment. Okay, this is your kind of thing to experiment with. And try and get more time between eating something else if you're not hungry. And if you have something like to satisfy you, if you know it's like neither of those things. Try to distract yourself with another activity. I'll pop a free distraction guide in the show notes. It's I think it's like 40 things that you can do instead of binging or eating more. So I'll pop that in the show notes for you. Another reason is that you're planning on like going on a diet tomorrow. One of the biggest predictors of overeating and eating past fullness is that restriction is looming. Your brain knows that you're going to restrict it from food before you do. Okay, just like if you like move your finger, your brain knows that you're going to do that even before you think it, right? Your brain is so much more clever than you because it's designed to keep you alive. If you're planning on going on a diet on Monday, or you're planning on losing weight for your holiday in 2 months, or you're planning on renewing your gym membership to lose weight, your brain like just already knows that. So the thoughts of restriction are already planted. And that's not to like scare you, but it's to give you insight and like to give yourself a break that actually restriction is probably the key that's going on here. And you need to kind of heal from that if you want to stop this. Or if you don't want to stop it, you can white knuckle it and you can say, well, I need to restrict because I need to lose weight. You know, this needs to happen because that's what's important to me right now. That's fine too. Another reason is that you're using food to cope with something. It might be emotional distress. It might be relationship problems, work problems. It might be boredom, dissatisfaction with life, stress, loads of different things. Food might just be playing a role. This is for you to dive into more, and just raising awareness with it allows you to be more compassionate with yourself. One of the biggest things that can help with overeating is actually self-compassion. So you can maybe say something like, oh, you know, I keep overeating even though I'm full. I know this might be because I'm struggling with, you know, X, Y, Z, you fill in the blank. That can really just help it be less of like a personal fault and more of, oh, this kind of sucks, but that I know why it's happening. It kind of takes it off your back a little bit. So that's what I'd recommend there. Another reason, and this kind of ties into the first reason actually, is your brain just hasn't kind of caught up yet to your stomach being full. So if you wait too long between eating, or you're over hungry when you start eating, it can take like a while for your brain to catch up and know that you're full. So like I mentioned before, I would just probably distract yourself a little bit. And this isn't in like a, you know, diety, like you're not allowed to eat way. But if overeating is like causing you distress, then I would recommend like distracting yourself. All right, let me think if I've missed anything major out. I don't think I've missed anything major out. But this is all to say that all of these reasons and all of the tips that I gave, ultimately what it comes back to is a healthy relationship to food. And if you're overeating on a regular basis, and eating past fullness on a regular basis, that is a sign that you have a difficult relationship to food. If one-to-one work is accessible to you, I'd recommend getting in touch and we can talk about like your specific like needs and what that would look like. A really lovely entry way into healing your relationship to food is the framework Intuitive Eating. It's a really lovely framework that takes you from disordered eating to normal eating. And it's based on the work of two dietitians, and it's in a book. Oh, it's a book. So I'll pop the link to the book on Amazon if you want to get your hands on it or just like read what other people think of it. That's always what I recommend if you can't have one-to-one support right now. And it will take you through like, it does a lot of work on, you know, how to stop eating when you're full, with always the bottom line that this is like a kind of deep thing that's going on and won't be solved by a few tips. But the book will kind of be like a little self-help guide to help you have a healthy relationship to food. So I'll pop that in the show notes, and I'll pop the link to work with us one-to-one as well. Conscious that I gave you loads of things to think about. I like this podcast to kind of be free flowing and just give you info rather than me kind of being like, do this, do that, do this, because I actually don't think that kind of more prescriptive style works for our relationship to food. So I hope this episode was helpful. I'll pop the links below for the book, the Intuitive Eating book. It's not by me, it's by two other dietitians. My free distraction guide, if you want to get your paws on that. And a link to get in touch if you want one-to-one support. All right, I'll see you next week. Bye.